As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm happy and pleased to be here with you, given the opportunity to talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. And today is no different. We really seriously need to get together and decide how we feel and think about the things that are going on in our society and how do we need to react to them. A lot of times we find ourselves sitting back and not giving voice to the anger or even maybe the happiness we have with what our government is doing. But we need to have a voice. We need to talk. And we need to make sure people understand what we're thinking. And so today I just want to talk about what is really on the headlines in terms of our government is the DECA program and how people feel about that program. And so I'm going to go on record telling you what I think. I just think it's despicable to have a group of people here in our country who came here at a very young age, who went through our school system, and who may be adults now, who worked legitimately here for a given period of time, and we still be threatening them with deportation. We have to understand that no matter what people say or do, they're going to do what is in the best interest of themselves and the people they love. And people are going to continue to come across our borders because they know that they can find work here. And most of the time, that work is going to be doing stuff that a lot of Americans don't want to do. And I know that people will say, well, they are undermining the pay that most Americans will do. But I'm going to share this with you, and this is real important. Most of the people in business are out to make money. And if you're in a position to help them make money, then they're going to hire you to do it. Now, there are a lot of people out there who are struggling because they have not positioned themselves in the right way to take advantage of our economical system. And you have to, when you're trying to take care, take advantage of a system, you have to see where the need is and to provide a service for that need. And what I'm saying is, people are not going to hire unqualified people. They're not going to hire people they have difficulty communicating with. So when you tell me that an immigrant worker can fight their way over the border, or willing to fight their way over the border with all the dangers there exist to get over that border, they can come here not knowing the language, and they can take a job from you, I find that difficult to understand. See, because I get frustrated working with some of them when they're doing stuff just like deliveries, where they're doing, when I find I'm talking to somebody who doesn't understand the language and they're trying to find out how to get to my house and I'm trying to explain it and they find a difficulty understanding it. So I don't know how in the world we can hold them accountable for stealing jobs that other Americans could have the ability to get. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me, because if you've been in America all your life and you know English and you've had the ability to take advantage of the educational system, you've had the ability to go to college, because poor people got the ability to go to college. They got the ability to go to adult school, so they have the ability to educate themselves. So how can these immigrants who come over here with less education be able to convince a businessman that he can make them more money than you? I'm not seeing that. So I'm not afraid of the DECA program in terms of taking away jobs that Americans want, because I believe Americans, most Americans should be in a position or position themselves at a certain age, start positioning themselves to take the job that they want long before they're ready to have it. So if you feel like I'm not explaining myself correctly, or I'm not understanding something, I'm willing to listen to that. But I just think that it's unfair for a child to be brought here as a child, and I don't care if the child is brought here at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and stay here till they are adults and go through the educational system, and then Donald Trump want to send them back. I don't think our economy can afford to send back 400,000 DECA people in that DECA program. I've heard numbers as high as 800,000. So I'm just not in favor of that. I'm not in favor of it because, again, the disadvantage that they start at should not be one that threatens American children or American adults. Dee, I'm going to go to you first. What are your thoughts about this program possibly being ended, and people suggesting that these people are taking jobs from Americans? I'm not sure I understand how someone in this environment, or with those odds against them, should be able to take a job from Americans.
Well, thank you, James, for the opportunity to be on the show. I really appreciate it again. You know, I'm in sync with you when you say that there should be no reason that an Hispanic person or any other immigrant can come to this country and have the fortitude enough to learn what they can to start providing for their family. And you got people that have been here all their life claim they can't get work, can't get a job, and things of that matter. When it comes down to the DACA program, I think that what I think is, because the presidential administration has been flip-flopping on that issue. Just as of today, he flip-flopped again to to try to persuade persons that he's in favor of it, per se, without even really knowing the real details on how to make legalization happen. But I think the rhetoric came into play where the idea of trying to make it seem like they was unwanted and they was not needed here, I think that the hate element that helped put the Trump administration into power was the main cause of that. The hate element, again. Now, being as though that hate element has been ousted out of the White House, and again, that hate element I'm speaking of is Steve Bannon, President Steve Bannon, was like that the bad talisman on the shoulder of Donald Trump, whispering in his ear about what to do, what the base gonna like, this, that, and the other. And now that he's gone, Trump understands now that he has to do something to try to make some kind of good out of his presidency. So here we got this flip-flop issue of that. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if Congress is going to be able to bite the bait and actually make something out of this. But he's just trying to save what little notoriety he may have left in his presidency. Thank you, Jane.
And it is just, you know, we have to be honest and fair about who we are as a nation. We give out all kind of money to Israel and these other countries by the billions for what I consider to be little or nothing in return. And so we have to consider where our tax dollars go and who benefits the most from our tax dollars. I'd like to see some of those tax dollars returned to our country, and I think that would make our country better. If we did not seek to somehow get favor from other countries based on our dollar bills are spread out all over the world trying to save countries and prop their economy up, when we need to keep some of that money here and put it in the hands of our people and let us spend some of that money here and then spending it all over the world. Other countries have to be responsible for their countries and their borders, and let us be responsible for our country. And then we wouldn't, you know, we can't be the economy that everybody eats off of except ourselves. All right, we're going to, Cheryl, I'm coming to you. You know, what is your thoughts related to this DECA program and possibly being ended, and how inhumane it sounds to send people back who have known no other country but this country since their birth?
Good evening, everyone, and how is everyone doing this evening? I'm glad to be here. I'm not familiar with all of the details, only some of them. But what I'm hearing is understanding is that how can, you know, people who have been here just about all their lives, you know, return where? And is there enough room to return? How do you return something? You know, a person, you know, I can understand, you know, you returning an item back to the store, or you returning something because it didn't fit. But when you say return people, you know, I can't grasp that, because this is their lives. Now, how would he feel if somebody returned his wife? I'm just saying, you know, brought that or challenged him on that. So when it comes to that, and like I said, I don't know all of the full details, meaning I have not read any documents as far as everything dealing with it, but I do believe, I feel that it's just so ridiculous. I mean, you know, the first time I had heard it, I just bust out laughing because it's like, you know, he can't be for real. This just can't be for real. I mean, who would think of something like this? But then again, I thought again, nobody but Donald Trump. So my feelings is that it's just totally ridiculous, and you're right. And I feel like, you know, how you going to return something or return a person? That's just absurd.
Well, Cheryl, that's all you need to know. I mean, we told these people under the Obama administration, if they would come register, they would get a green card so that they could go to work, they could go to college, go to school. They had proven that they had been here as a child. And so this is the only country they know. So even if you were to send them back to a country where they had relatives, how fair would it be to send somebody who has spent nearly 20 years of their life here in America back to a place where they know nothing about? And so, and these people are contributing to our society. And some of them are a part of our armed forces and are doing all kinds of things to benefit this country. And I just think it's a disgrace to be so insensitive to humanity. We're not talking about animal. We're not talking about indiscriminate object. We're talking about a human being, and we have to be conscious of these being human beings. Andre, what is your thought about this situation and where our government seems, the direction our government is going?
I'm like Ms. Cheryl, I don't have complete understanding and knowledge, but what I do know is part of it is a strategy, I think, to put people in fear. That is a form of enslavement. You know, since that issue have come to the forefront, people after people after people are just concerned. They don't know from day to day if they'll be deported. And you're exactly right. I think it's fake reporting for someone to say that you know, immigrants are taking jobs away from U.S. citizens, because you're correct. Most of the immigrants are labor-intense jobs, and a lot of Americans just feel that they're at a different place, you know, that entitlement piece, that they're entitled not to have to do real labor, if you would, anymore. So I would venture to say that if indeed an American was to apply for a labor position and an immigrant would to apply, now, in reality, if that American wanted that job, they would get that job just because of probably who they know. So it's not about jobs being taken away from people that really want them, because if they wanted them, even with them being allowed to stay here, they would have raised up the issue, you know, prior to now, and saying that, you know, and show statistics behind it. But you have to know, when people have you living in fear, think back to slavery days when people would bust into our ancestors' homes, and the goal was to bring the person out and hang them in front of the family. Now you're instilling fear. And when you instill fear, that's the sense of power. So, D, you are right on, and I agree with you 100%. It's about power. And it's part of enslavement, and it's part of just the evilness that people will go to sometimes to get their way. So, again, that's my view from what I know. And I believe I read where President Obama stated, you know, why it's cruel. Why would you do this to you know, children now who are adults, they've been here for so long, and they're contributing, you know, and, you know, look at the whole picture. When it first came up to be voted on or pushed through or whatever, it was right when Harvey had impacted. And, you know, all the pictures of people helping people and stuff, you know, a lot of people helping others were immigrants and minorities. helping. At that time, it wasn't about color. It wasn't about politics. And so the conscious, you know, well, would he really voice that out and looking to see the contribution where they are helping other Americans? So they paused for a moment, and then it came back up. So we have to be mindful of looking at everything in the totality of it all. But that's just my opinion. I don't know detail, but just a little bit I've seen and put together, that's my perspective.
You know, it's important that we realize that at some point in time, we have to get beyond feeling like victims and recognize, and when I say victims, I'm talking about all Americans. Immigrants have been coming to this country for tens of and hundreds of years for a better opportunity. And America was taken over by immigrants, and now all of a sudden now they're going to talk about immigrants as though they are not valuable or a good part of the society. I even see it against Haitians. Now, I went to school at Jones High School, and when I was at Jones High School here in Orlando in the 70s, there were only two races of people. There were only blacks and whites, very few Hispanics. I didn't know any Hispanics during the time I was growing up and I was in the public school system. Now, as a teacher, I recognized and saw that there were a lot more Hispanic, there are a lot more Haitian students, and so there's a greater mixture of immigrants in our society. I see a lot of Haitian students who have now become valedictorian, who worked hard and studied hard and did what they were supposed to do. And so I can't understand why American students or American parents or American business people or American workers would have something negative to say about immigrants, because whatever those immigrants are doing, we've had plenty of time to do it as well. And there's nothing but, that's what the capitalist society is about those who are willing to put in the work will reap the rewards. And so if you're willing to make sure you find an area that needs assistance and you get educated, we should not be in fear of immigrants. Those immigrants make our country what it is, and they make us stronger than other countries. When you have a country that is like a magnet drawing people to it, it's drawing people to it because it has something worth making it worthy of making the effort to get here. So we all need to try to take advantage of that instead of dumping on them because somehow we're not where we want to be. If we're not where we want to be, then we need to get up and create a new strategy in order to get there. Joyce, what are your thoughts about this?
Good evening, everybody. I'm in absolute agreement with you. But this is not about the average person, about what we want and why this is happening, DACA. It's about Trump trying to undo anything and everything that President Obama did. Now, how immigration came about for the Dreamers is because there was nothing in place. And what they wanted to do is that they wanted to get rid of all immigrants. And that's when Obama came up with the DACA for all the young people. And he was going to do it for an extended period of time because Congress wasn't willing to work with them at all as far as immigration is concerned. Now Trump want to be the good guy because, see, he's backsliding on what, see, he didn't know what the devastation of what all this is. I don't think he's a thinking president. But he saw the big picture yesterday with all the people out in the streets and all the people that were hurt, because a lot of these DACA people are teachers, lawyers, nurses, doctors. That's who your dreamers are right now. These are 30, the average is 30, 33-year-old young people. And you got these young people in political and high society positions that would really hurt the economy. So it's not the average cotton-picking people. that really I think his light bulb has come on. Now he really realized what the real big picture is. So what he said today, I'm going to revisit because that's something that Obama wasn't able to do. And, yeah, Obama wasn't able to do it because Congress wouldn't let him do it. Now you got a Republican Congress. Let's see what you guys going to do. Now, what they will do, they'll put something in place, and guess what? Trump won't credit for that because he's going to say that Obama failed his position, so now it's going to be a new DACA, and the new DACA is going to be probably a new name to it, but they're going to put a twist to it anyway. There's no way that you can get all these people to go to a country that they're not familiar with. This is their country, the United States of America. This is where they belong. And like I told you yesterday, James, is that Mexicans and all these immigrants, they're different than the average blacks. They will rise up like it's no tomorrow. And he saw something yesterday that blew his mind to make him retract. So I think it's going to be a new day and new air. So thank God for that.
All right. You know, I'm going to go to Kathy just before break. So we'll get everybody in before break. But it's important that we realize that there are faces on these when you're in these programs. It's not something that you can say that nobody's being hurt. These people have been a part of our country for a while, and they did things legally by going in and confessing who they were and applying every 2 years to stay in compliance. Kathy, your thoughts?
I agree with it. Good afternoon, first of all, but I agree with what everybody else has said. From Dee to I think it's Sharon to Audrey to Joyce, all the way down the line. I totally agree, and especially about the part about them coming together. When something is said or done against their race, they come together, they band together like no other.
And we need that kind of solidification with us, with people of color. We actually need them to assist us in uniting with us to make sure we overturn the direction our government seems to be going in right now. Their numbers help us in order to become more powerful. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Every time we hear the music and feel it's this love together, we got the time that lasts forever. We're in this love together, and like berries on the vine, it gets sweeter all the
in America, you can put your faith with your will to work and create magic. The Wealth Dash system is a great opportunity to use your faith and your will to dream to build a new source of cash flow. Are you ready to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow? If you are, go to wealthdashsystems.com. For more information, call 407-459-4827. This system will change your life.
Cheryl, I want to talk to you, go in a little bit different direction. And the direction I want to go in is how people of color and even whites have this need to paint themselves as victims when it comes to minorities, and how we are constantly hearing somehow or another that immigrants are allowed to come to this country and somehow are helped to get further along than we are. You know, when I hear that people say that kind of thing, I think back to myself, and I know all of us have had a different journey and a different road to wherever we are. But the fact is that I went to a predominantly black high school. I went to a predominantly black college, and I have not been unemployed a day in my life. And I've also had most of the time two jobs, and I've just been hardworking and out there getting it. So it's difficult for me to understand when people tell me that somehow somebody came from another country, had to battle through learning a different language, was somehow put in a better position than them to fight to get through this system. And I know that there are plus and minuses to the system based on your color, but there are too many African Americans, too many Hispanic Americans, too many Asians, and too many people who were economically deprived and who are white people who pulled themselves up and made a living for themselves. So I'm not sure I understand how it is that we have people constantly complaining that how somebody came from another country and got it better than them.
Well, in that aspect, I'm just going to speak for my own personal experience. Me, myself, I've always been persistent in everything that I do. And I feel like I don't take no if there's something that I want. If there's a job, if there's a position, or if there's an opportunity or something that I want to achieve in life, I don't let the circumstances around me or hinder me in no kind of way. And, you know, they're kind of broad to say because we don't know what they have to go through to get to where they are and what they are willing to do to get to where they are. You know, some of the things that they're willing to do, we, when I say we, that means some people, are not willing to do those things. And those things that they are willing to do help them to achieve the goals. When they say they come to a land of opportunity, they take full advantage. And when I say full advantage, I mean that things that they can, they do it. You know, it means if it's a student that want to achieve academically, they are willing to stay up longer at night. I know I worked for this family, this Vietnamese family, and they all lived together. Mama ruled everything. When I say I don't mean dictated, I mean that all the money from all the jobs went to Mama. And what they did was they didn't have to like each other. They knew that the older one was going to be set up in the business. Mama watched the children. Then the next in age, they were set up. So they do things in a way that maybe some of us are not willing to do to achieve those things. They take advantage. And I don't mean in a bad way. I mean they use the opportunity to their advantage to get the things that they want. We can be persistent, and many of us have been persistent and shown in the outcome. But some of us play the victim and say, oh, poor me, I can't, you know, get a job. And that was one thing that I always taught my children. If you don't have a job, create a job. Find the need and fill it, whatever it is. If it's a temporary thing, a fad that's going, you know, coming in and going out, fill it. But you don't never have to not have a job or not be able to work towards something. Do something until you get a job for a company that you may want to work for or whatever. So we got to stop playing the victim and start achieving and going after those opportunities. And sure, it may be harder depending on the race of the person, but to me that just makes me work even harder and make me feel even better to know that I have accomplished, you know, what I set out to accomplish. So that's pretty much, you know, how I feel personally and what I have seen in my surroundings or have experienced. I'm not speaking for the experience that other people may have seen or witnessed or gone through, just my experience and what I've seen.
Do you have grown up in the Mecca of a area where African Americans have fully taken advantage of all the opportunities that exist in a southern city, excuse me, a southern state like Georgia, and they have created an oasis? So why is it that we got so many people who are willing to blame their shortcomings on the immigration rules?
Well, James, first of all, applaud Ms. Cheryl, because she's given me the backbone to tell you that I'm going to have to give it to you the way I see it and understand it. And it's not going to be very nice, and it's not ever popular when I come and respond to your question. And so here's my answer to that. You know, when I moved from Atlanta and found new romance and moved further south in Georgia, I had not ever seen people working in the fields until I moved down in southern Georgia. And when it comes down to people, when they say that we don't want them here, we want to send them back, and speaking primarily of the migrant worker, you know, here's the thing. You know, when it comes down to working in the hot field with rattlesnakes, I had never seen a live rattlesnake until I moved down to South Georgia. And a lot of these rattlesnakes, they live in the cotton fields and in the vegetable fields. Look, black people don't want to do that kind of work because they think it's beneath them now. Their ancestors did that kind of work, and they wouldn't appreciate it. So black people are not going to do that kind of work. So when it comes down to sending these migrants back, it's like the same mindset about the Obamacare. It's not well thought out. Because when you send those people back, who's going to do the work? Who's going to pick? A machine cannot pick nothing but cotton. A machine cannot pick bell peppers. It'll bust them up. A machine cannot pick squash. It'll bust them up. A machine cannot pick watermelon. It'll bust it up. A machine cannot pick even the simplest plant like broccoli, because when you bust up the yield, you have nothing. So when the migrant workers come in to do that kind of work, it's a stepping stone. Notice, they do it for a while until they can learn English a little bit, and then they move up. And then they move up a little further. Then the next group come in as a stepping stone. So that's why that is so important to look at that full picture right there. Now, to answer your question, why do people of color seem to have this problem about them coming in? Because I'm going to give it to you straight. They lazy. There's a certain percentage of black people that are lazy still. A certain percentage that ain't popular, but it has to be said. They're lazy. So Michelle brought this up also, and this is the thing that we got to learn real, real quick now, because it's test time again. God is testing us. The test is that black people seem to have a problem getting along with anybody. But the key to the fact is that the enemy of my enemy is supposed to be what? My friend. A certain percentage of black people don't have the common sense to even figure that out. And they hate on the Mexicans still. But let me tell you who's going to win at the end of all of this. Jot this down if you're still around to see it happen. The Chinese is going to win in the end of all of this. We're being played by the Chinese. Because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they know that we can't get along with each other, black people and white people, and especially black people with anybody. So, look, the thing about the Chinese, and I'm going to cut it off here. The Chinese population now are under a democratic system now. But they are an old school society. The Yang Dynasty is over 5,000 years old. So they have an old school mindset. So they're gonna wait all of this out until they can come in and maneuver and in the next 35 years they will be the only superpower. Thank you.
Andre, you know, when we think about you and I and how we, you know, where we started from and going to historically black colleges and being able to come up and do what it is we want to do and have the success that we had. And I just find it difficult to feel empathy for people who keep on trying to blame their shortcomings on somebody else.
Well, first of all, let me pay recognition to Kathy, because I haven't been on while Kathy was on for a while. So, Kathy, I miss you. I love you. Just continue blessings upon you. James, as it relates to different people's status in their career, yeah, you and I were blessed enough to follow our dream of attending a historic black college, and that was the path that we chose. But it wasn't just, well, for me, now you were in a different category than I was, but for me, it just didn't happen. You know, it was because of sacrifice. You know, and it was because my family helped. Everybody helped each other and stuff. It wasn't something that I achieved by myself. You know, my parents sacrificed for me to go there. My sisters and brothers, they made sure that I had, you know, and continue to support and make recommendations and suggestions. And that's one avenue to use education, but it's other avenues in order to accomplish and achieve the dreams that people have. But with it comes sacrifice. You know, some people decided not to go to college, and that's fine. They pursue another path as it relates to, you know, whether it was technical skills or, you know, it was trade coming up with us. If you didn't, everybody knew that everybody wasn't going to go to college. Some people took vocation. You know, some people went to military, but either way, your goal was to establish a career and to achieve and to advance in whatever your career, whatever it is. My dad always told, whatever you do, you be the best at it. That's the key. Your reputation is on it, not just yours, but your family and that type of thing. So Ms. Cheryl was correct. You know, people don't want to put in the work. It requires putting in the work. So that's where we come to. And I thank Joyce for making it clear for me. Like I said, I don't have all the ins and outs, but when we talk about labors, that's one set, but that's not the complete set of dreamers. What she was saying is some people who have been here and they pursued the dream, they put in the work, and now they're in positions of contributing as good citizens. That's what we all try to do. We just try to be good citizens and contribute and make the world better for those that's coming behind us, because we know that those that came before us, we're riding on their shoulders. And yeah, I think probably Trump got a better view of when people pull together and make their stand. You know, so many times, James, you ask, you know, well, what can we do to make sure that the results change of the way things are with especially blacks? We keep saying it. You have to be unified. You have to be unified. When you pull together and you make a stand and you see the different components of how people are making valuable contributions, people will be, and I don't care how much money they have. So I think that may be what we're seeing.
Joyce, you know, I think you so much magnify what all of us try to do and accomplish when we try to get to a certain level ourselves, and then we try to encourage our children to get to a certain level. And there is nothing out there that betters education. You know, one of the things I get tired of hearing about is I used to hear my students always try to tell me about the educated man who has a master's or a doctorate degree but don't have a job. You know, you always have people trying to suggest to you that there's a better way than education to get to where they want to get to. And they'll pick out that one little person that, you know, somehow went to school but didn't is not making it. But not understanding that the vast majority of people who go to college find work and find careers, and you just got to keep your foot on the pedal till you get to where you're going. And it takes determination to get there, but as long as you're committed, you'll start moving the obstacles and you'll start having the success. But you can't stop with the first obstacle.
And my dad has always said, and I'm sure that everyone's parents has always told them, every time you get knocked down, you get straight up, you shake it off, and you keep it pushing. That's what we have to do, and that's what we have to do as a race. Now, I would like to kind of back up a little bit and say that almost all the different races have an advantage when they come over here, too. And just fortunately enough, they all take advantage of it and really excel very well. Now, as far as what they do, they give them tax breaks where the average black and your business is here, you don't get that. So Chinese, Japanese, all these races, and I know this for a true fact, they get an exemption where they don't have to do that. So we as black race, we've always been the underdog, and that's why we're going to have to really work twice as hard, as Cheryl said. And most of the time, we have to make our own way. And you got to do that because if we depended on the society and the system to help us and to help us get where we need to be and get us accomplished there, it's not going to happen. Education is key. But everybody's not able and everybody's not book smart. That's when common sense come in. Trades. Yes, there are a few that are gifted, and that's what that is. That's a natural gift that God has given them to think the way that they do in order for them to get ahead. We all have a little sparkle in us, and that is our job as an adult, as leaders, we all are leaders, to implement that into our young people, to let them know and instill into them how special they are. And we are special. Believe me, we are a special group of people because we have been the underdog in so many ways. Every time we try to get there, and once we do get there, we still don't get the respect. So therefore, we're going to have to stop depending on the system and start really, really working together. And that is key, working together as a group. I think where we're going now in the movement is that we have start looking at each other as positiveness and depending on each other as far as our trades, occupations, and our skills. Once we start tapping into us, because we are a gifted race. We are the best at everything when you think about it. Just look what we have accomplished and have not even gotten the credit for. So once we start tapping into our own resources, we are going to be a powerful, something to reckon with. And D, right on point. Chinese are buying up everything, everything. And the next, and I don't give it 30 years. I would say less than that. It's going to be a new nation, and it's going to be a new race in charge. You're right on point on that. Thank you.
Kathy, I know that I'd like to know your perspective on this. I mean, you're in an area of California where it is a large group of Hispanics, but I also know that you all band together to get things done in your government that doesn't happen in a lot of places around the country. So it seems as though California has been able to handle the influx of my minorities in their state without there being a lot of bad repercussions.
I'm going to go back to what Joyce was just talking about the community of people and how we as African American people, we have achieved a lot. We, even though there are some within the circle where that's what people mostly focus on, those that are not doing and that don't want to, there are a mass amount of Black people that are doing great things, that are making things happen. There are a lot of entrepreneurs. There are a lot of doctors and lawyers. I mean, there are a mass amount of African Americans that are making things happen. I don't think we should focus on what we are not doing, but I think we should focus on what we are doing and what we have accomplished as a African American culture. And as we have spoke about multiple times on your forum, that if we band together, if we begin to band together, then we can see more progress in our actual communities, in our races as a people. We can make things happen because we are just as great as any other culture. I remember a time when I was smaller, that everywhere you went, the people that were cutting grass, the people that were doing the mass amount of jobs were African American people. You know, it just, I mean, it just changed maybe within the last 15 years, where now you see it's the Hispanics that are doing more. I know even on well, like I told you guys, the reason why I left my job is because they took our jobs and they switched them over to Texas. And the qualifications for the jobs there is that you had to be bilingual. You had to know both the languages. My husband was just telling me the other day, one of the guys that came in after him, who was Hispanic, said, "Hey, Mike," because, you know, my husband talks to everybody, just a conversational piece. And he said, "Did you get that last raise?" He was like, "What last raise?" He said, "Yeah, they elevated me up to the top pay." And he was like, "Oh, okay, well, let me talk to Mike," which is his supervisor, just giving an example, okay? And so he said that when he went and talked to the supervisor, he said, "Oh, I didn't know anything about that, Mr. Jones. Let me inquire for you." But 2 weeks later, then they had to elevate him as well because they had elevated somebody else. And my husband is always at work. He does overtime. Whenever they call him, he's there. But I'm saying that to say is that it doesn't matter if it's African American or Hispanic. It matters whoever is in charge, because other people will pull other people up. It's just us. We have a problem with sometimes pulling one another up, with helping one another with things. And even with the different, some of the different businesses that are out there, we don't even want to help our people, you know, get a job, give our people a chance. But we want to go to the other race because we want them to take a smaller amount of pay. But I'm saying that to say is that there is still greatness in us. So, I mean, I'm all for everybody getting an education, everybody having a chance. And then another thing that Joyce talked about, how when other cultures come here, they get a tax break, they get a loan. It's very hard for us to do it, but think about how strong we are as a people. You know, we don't allow one thing to stop us. We press on even without a loan, even without the extra money. We still press on, most of us, to get what it is that we need to get. I apologize, James, that I didn't answer the question that you actually asked me, but as each person was talking, there were different things that I was thinking about. So that's my
answer. Well, Kathy, we don't have any problem with you speaking your piece. And so you've earned that right. So you don't worry about it. Dee, let me come to you. And I'm going to change the direction a little bit. But we can't gripe about having an economy when we refuse to do what it is that is needed to make our economy stronger. Because the richer you make your individuals, the stronger you'll be as a group. And so, you know, we now, the movement should be about, hey, buy black. If you can't buy black, then you buy outside of your race. But if you can, that's what you should look to do first. And there are a lot of super businessmen out there providing all kind of alternative products that we need to be looking into so that we support those who are out there in business. And it's the further we get them along, the further we get ourselves along.
Well, James, you know, you're absolutely right. But and I don't mean to say but in that way. But I think we have a fundamental issue. And I'm speaking of a small percentage per se, but the percentage is big enough to make a difference when it comes to our race. And the fundamental issue, I think, is the proper mindset. We have a fundamental problem with the mindset. And one of the things that I'm speaking of is, you know, we have to first get our young people to stop selling dope to one another. As fundamental as that. Like Mr. Kathy said, you know, when I was growing up, the Muslims used to have it out about that. Brother, man, why are you doing this to the sister? Why are you selling it? Why are you selling this to your own people? You know, so we got a fundamental issue where we got to speak to, we got to get the attention of our young people to where that is not acceptable no more. We're not going to accept that no more. We're not to accept the fact that you think that you have to go to jail to get some kind of street credit. We're not going to accept the fact that you know that you think you can talk to the female any kind of way, and that's cool. We're not going to accept the fact no more that the female don't know how to choose a man, that she has to accept just anything, just to have a piece of man, just to say you got a man. All of that has to stop. We got to stop appeasing that mess right there. I'm starting to raise my voice. It gets me kind of heated. And so like Miss Kathy just said about, you know, the thing about outsourcing. You know, when these businesses they feel they need to grow, they outsource. All right? And in that respect, then like to Miss Cheryl credit. When you know that that's the norm, outsourcing is the norm, then you better go in your bootstrap, in your book, and try to learn something for yourself. Because like Miss Kathy said, I'm sorry, like Miss Joy said, we are the most creative people on this planet. We don't get enough credit for what we do and what we know and the fortitude that we have. And so that's the mindset that we got to also start to drive home, that we don't need nobody to validate us. Learn to validate yourself. Learn to critique yourself. Learn to encourage yourself. And in that, I think that we can propel ourselves leaps and bounds above anybody else, and then have this entitlement mentality to just go right on out the back door. So that's my answer to that, and I hope I did answer your question, James. Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I see, or I'm aware of, being from my era, being born in the 1960s, one of the things I see was economics was not what divided us as a people. Because when I grew up in a black neighborhood. I grew up across the street from people who might have been economically disadvantaged, but we were all seeking to get to elevate ourselves. And so what I realized when my father moved us into Lake Man, which was still a black neighborhood, into a bigger home, I was right down the street from the project. And I could still identify with the people who were in the project. And when I went to Jones High School, and I was with people from all kind of different areas, I could identify with them because we all were looking to do what was in our best interest. So I am aware of a lot of people who came from poor economic backgrounds who went to college, went to FAMU, went to Cookman. I went to South Carolina State. People went to Howard. They went to everywhere they could want to go. They went to Valencia. They went to Florida State. They went to University of Florida. They found ways to go to every kind of school you can think of. And they came from economically poor backgrounds. And they didn't make excuses. And so, like, you know, it's been said that some of us are being lazy and want to be victims. And we need to just stop crying and just decide that we're not going to let other people decide who we are and where we're going. And we're going to make a determination on our own to get there. And it doesn't matter how we do it. Andre, I'm back to you. I just think that that we just, the momentum that we had, we're losing it and we need to pick it up somewhere. Are you there, Andre? Joyce, are you there?
Yes, but is Andre on mute?
You're back with us, Andre?
Yes.
It just seems like we're losing some of the momentum that we had in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and we need to get that momentum back.
We definitely do, and we have to understand what's at stake. And what's at stake is not just for ourselves, but it's for our future. And that within itself give us the determination to push forward and make sure that we push those behind us forward.
I mean, that, you know, we just have, there are too many people. I know when I went to South Carolina, and I know exactly what type of area South Carolina is, and it was one of our poorest states. And I met people who now have their doctorate degree, who are second in charge of school districts, who went on to just do some incredible things without making excuses. And I realize even now our schools are filled up with young people who are out there trying to get their education, who are out there dreaming and who can dream beyond the stars. And we still got people crying, woe is me. We got to stop. We got to stop and we got to get together and make things happen. If the alt-right can make things happen, then certainly we can make things happen. Joyce?
You're right on that. But I think what we need to do, too, is stop looking at so much the negative and let the negative outweigh so much of the positive. We got so much to be so positive. We're going to always have the ones that don't want it. Wanted the easy way. But we as a people, as a race, outnumber that. We got too much pride in who we are, and we just want that opportunity. And a lot of us is going to push forward and just keep pushing forward and keep pushing forward. It is our job for the ones who are up there and who's on a road of success and rolling. We got to reach back and just bring up the rear. We need a lot of people to bring up the rear because we got too many people in the rear. So we got to keep letting them know that, hey, brother, you can get there, so come follow me. We got to show them a good direction, and that's by example. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, and we have to realize that we have to continue to dream so that we can make our dreams materialize so they can be the beacon for other people's dreams. You know, we can't sit back and relax. D, we have to be determined to show as many people as possible the direction they need to go in.
No, James, you all are so right. And again, and you know, we have touched on a lot of this past year. And so, and one of the things that I want to bring up again is the use of modern technology, like the internet and YouTube. You know, let's get out there and learn something. Learn something. Learn a trade. You can learn a trade without even, and not to put down going to school, but you can learn a trade on your own now. You know, and like Miss Cheryl said again, do something that's trendy, something that's in the trend, something that's in the now. And so, you know, I'm a man, I'm a guy, and you know, if I didn't have a job, if I was struggling to do something, you know, I would learn how to do women's nails and women's feet, you know. You know, being a straight guy doing pampering women, that's a gold mine. I know that for a fact. You know, so there are things that we can learn. And so we have to be creative. And like Ms. Joyce just said, we have to incite creativity in our young people. I mean, and all we just want to do is just get their attention. You know, we spend a lot of time on your show, Jane, telling ourselves what we should do, and we know what we do is like almost preaching to the choir, you know. But these talks are good. These talks are good. We are encouraging ourselves to stay the path, because you know, like somebody told Miss Regina some time ago, if you don't care about your own children, or if you don't show that you care about your children, then who will? And that's where our fight is. See, our fight is in our own backyard, for real, for real. And we used to always hear that from the white guy. From the white guy, you know, before you want to clean up everything else, why don't you clean up around your own doorstep? Case in point taken, for real, though. And that's what time it is. And so I just wanted to say that, and so thank you.
All right, Cheryl, one of the things and D just brought up, and it's important that we recognize, he just brought it up, there are even more ways now to make money without even leaving your home. You know, we have access to the World Wide Web, and people who know how to manipulate the World Wide Web have a gold mine of opportunity. So, you know, it's sometimes, like you said, you know, if you can't find a job, you make a job. Here is a weapon that is in your home that does not require you look a certain way, you act a certain way, or any of those things. But if you learn the technology that is available in your own home, there's no excuses for not being able to make some kind of living.
You know, you're absolutely right, because from the age of 11 years old to just recently, I sold, and that's all I did. And it was most beneficial for me when I had children, because that's what I did at home, and I sold for customers, and they came to the house. I had my house set up where I had a dressing room where they can go in. I had my office. I had my sewing area. So I created an entire business right there in my home. And it's been many times that I've had to start over in life. And as long as I had my sewing machines and my notions, I was able to start over. So I didn't have to go out and look for a traditional job. I had a gift that God had given me at a very young age, and I used it to my advantage. Now, as I got older, my kids got older, I contracted myself out to bridal shops and different shops. But for many years, I never left my home other than to get notions. People came there to my home. I even taught sewing in my home. So, you know, there's things that, I mean, that you can do. And one of the most popular things today is my children flip. They buy things for one price. And my son is very good with computers. He will take and repair a laptop, a phone, or whatever it is, and then he'll take and resell it. So, and I mean, he do all of that at home because the phone or the laptop is mailed to him, and then whoever buy it online, all he has to do is go to the mail it back off to them. He don't never have to have, you know, any face-to-face contact with anybody that he's doing business with. So there's so many creative things that we can do. Meanwhile, you know, in the midst of in between a job or having multiple streams of income, you know, not just relying on one income, because I tell my children all the time, you know, with a job, you know, when you go to work and you leave, be prepared that this is your last day. Because, see, whatever management that you're working for, they're not going to tell you that they're about to restructure a business or downsize a business. So you never know when it is your last day. So that's why you always have another business in your back pocket that you don't rely on anything else. And I had to learn that because of struggling. So that taught me a lot. It taught me to not to give up and to be able to provide whatever income that I needed. And the harder I worked, the more I made. So, you know, we just don't have to settle in no way at all. And, you know, with me, I didn't go to college when I first got out of school. I went back to college when I was over, and now I sit here with a bachelor's degree in psychology. So, you know, we can always pursue, you know, going to college, but I never stopped getting knowledge, meaning I never stopped reading. I never stopped pouring information into myself or whatever I was curious about, you know. So we hold our own destiny. We can keep going forward or we can just, you know, whine about it and just waddle in self-pity. But, you know, the choice is up to us.
Joyce, I'm coming to you now. And that's what I see in terms of us having, look like people, some of our young people have less driven than we were. And we were, there are a lot of still new things out there that Americans, African Americans can do that they would still be the first to do it. And so we need them to be out there making things happen and understanding that they can't sit back and relax, because now we still need that same momentum that we had 30 or 40 years ago to propel them even further.
That's true. You know, I think what we don't encourage our young people to do a lot of, and that is dream, because your dreams can always come reality. You know, we got to always question them and push them as to what is it that you want to be, what is it that you think you want to do, you see. We got to show them how to take initiative and to go forward with that and stop waiting around for someone to have the answer. You know, you got to have that bright idea, you know. You got to have that bright idea. And sometimes what you think, and that's communicating.
Because once you tell somebody something and everything, and then you encourage that person as to what it is that they think and make them think that what they're thinking is a reality, can be beautiful, you know. But yeah. I think we as a people a lot of times we underestimate who we are and underestimate ourselves. Pardon me?
No, we were listening. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I don't know. I've got my train of thought. I'm sorry. I'm
okay.
Sorry. I thought I heard.
Kathy, let me just ask you if you had similar experiences when you were in the, you know, 60s and 70s. We all seem to be very motivated and had direction, and we seem to have lost that motivation to just stop crying and just get it done.
Well, everybody cries, you know, and even those that have those additional gifts, there's a point in time, even in you building an empire, there are moments that you get to yourself and you don't think that it's going to work, but then you get back up and you continue on. And as you continue on, you continue to build. So we all have those moments of tears, of doubt, of fear, but, you know, it's just something extra about us where we say, I can't give up. I believe this is something that I need to do, so I have to keep on. And that's where the cheerleaders come in at. I mean, people around you that see that talent in you. That's why it's so important as we mature and as we grow, if we see the talents in the young people, as Cheryl said, her, I think she said her kids are sewing. When you see a talent in your child, in someone else's child, then you need to push them in that area. You need to just motivate them and tell them that they're doing a great job so that they can continue on, even us as we get older and there are special gifts that we see one another have. We need to encourage one another. That's the only way we're going to be able to make a difference. That's the only way others are going to see the gifts that are within us.
And we have to understand that we all play a role. We really can't allow 20% of our race to be failures. Everybody has to be a part of this winning team that we're trying to create. And so we always have to be out there sharing with our counterparts that they can make it too. They just have to be willing to make sacrifices. They have to be willing to study something. I don't care what it is you study, but you got to be willing to learn something that is valuable enough to another person that they pay you for it. And once you are willing to create that, then you'll get the things that you want. You'll get the rewards that you want. But you have to be willing to find what it is that is your talent and market it to the right people at the right time. Audrey? Are you there, Audrey?
Yes, I am. And you're exactly right. We have to identify what interests is value to who and help them to achieve that.
And there's so much out to do. I mean, the internet makes there an unlimited playing field for us to produce wealth and opportunity without us having to be the face on what it is that we're doing. So there are a lot of opportunities now that don't require you to even show your face or show your color. All you have to be is an effective business person and be smart at whatever it is you're sharing. We're going to take another break, and we'll come back and finish up our show.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here. It makes me wanna
let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you wanna do. Can't let nobody take it away from you. the best out of life. Treat yourself to something new. Keep your head up high in yourself. Believe in you. Believe in me. Has been a really good time. I'm not complaining. And I'ma still wear a smile if it's raining. I'm a lady, so I must stay classy. Gotta keep it high, keep it together if I want to get better.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating opportunities to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow. Cheryl, what is your final thought for this evening?
As usual, I really enjoyed this platform. It gave me an opportunity to know some more things that I didn't know, and to be able to share some things with each one of you all, is that, you know, we can make things happen and not to wait for things happen if we are more persistent. And some of us have to work harder than others to do so. That's my final thought.
All right. Kathy, your final thought for this evening?
This is a quote from my big sister. She gave me about 20 years ago when she had this talk with me about what I was going to do with my life. She said, there are people that make things happen. There are people that watch things happen. And there are people that say, what happened? She said, so which one are you going to be? So I said, I was going to be a person that make things happen. And that's what we need to be, people that make things happen.
All right. I love that. Joyce, your final thought for this evening.
All I have to say is amen, Kathy. Excellent. Well said.
All right. Audrey, your final thought for this evening?
We all have dreams, and not only should the dreamers have an opportunity to pursue what it is that they're choosing to do, But all of us have that dream that we are out to accomplish. So let's support each other in making that happen, no matter what nationality, no matter what ethnicity. We're all, you know, just trying to achieve. Thank you.
All right. I look forward to seeing all you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. As we always, on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
In America, you can put your faith with your will to work and create magic. The Wealth Dad system is a great opportunity to use your faith and your will to dream to build a new source of cash flow. Are you ready to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow? If you are, go to WealthDadSystems.com. For more information, call 407-459-4827. This system will change your life.
You better